Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to All Cargo Logistics Limited Q1 FY23 results conference call hosted by Batlivala & Karani Securities India Private Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Sailesh Raja from Batlivala & Karani Securities India Private Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Yeah, thanks, Vivian. Good morning to all. On behalf of B&K Securities, I would like to welcome you to the All Cargo Logistics 1Q FY23 earnings call. From the management side, we'll be hearing from Mr. Ravi Jhakar, Chief Strategy Officer, and Mr. Dipal Shah, CFO. Without taking much time, I hand over the call to Mr. Ravi for the initial remarks, and post which we'll open up for the floor for Q&A. Over to you, Mr. Ravi.
Yeah, thanks, Sailesh. Good afternoon, everyone. I'm Ravi Jhakar, Group Chief Strategy Officer for All Cargo Logistics Limited. I'm joined by my colleague, our Deputy Group CFO, Mr. Dipal Shah. I'm glad that you all have joined us on this call, setting aside other priorities heading into the Independence Day weekend. It is a momentous occasion for us as a country to look behind on our journey over the last 75 years and set course for future. It is not much different for us at All Cargo, as we are in the phase of introspection and transformation, and I'm quite confident that we have already created a new base for a bright future ahead of us. As a country, our progress depends on how well we uphold our constitutional values. Likewise, as a company, a lot of our achievements can be attributed to our core values that represent the ethos and philosophy of our founder. Our focus on customer centricity has helped us earn the trust of customers, particularly during the challenging times of pandemic that we witnessed in the last couple of years. They experienced resilience in our service offerings, and that has helped us expand market share across businesses. As we started this new financial year, faced with challenges of Ukraine war, lockdowns in China, and a unique combination of inflationary and recessionary risks, against all adversities and headwinds, we increased our volumes substantially year on year, as well as quarter on quarter in our mainstay international supply chain business, which contributes to nearly 90% of our revenues. All Cargo was the company that effectively created the CFS business and the LCL consolidation business in the country, while Gati created the new segment of Express Logistics business in India. What I'm trying to highlight is that innovation and execution has been our another core value, and today we are leading the digitization of international supply chain in the LCL consolidation, where we are global market leaders, as well as pioneering the digital revolution with our EQ360 platform and a host of other digital initiatives. With these core values and other initiatives, I am confident that we are on our path to continue our successful journey in serving customer needs and creating stakeholder value. Coming to this year and the first quarter, we have had a stellar performance in the first quarter with highest ever volumes in the international supply chain business and also the best ever performance in the express logistics business under Gati. To take you through more details of our financial performance, I will now hand over the line to Mr. Dipal Shah. Over to you, Dipal.
Thank you, Ravi. I will now discuss the Q1 FY23 performance. I'm happy to share that we have carried the momentum from the FY22 into our current quarter. And for Q1 FY23, All Cargo Logistics has reported a consolidated revenue of 5,675 crores, up 65% YOY basis. EBITDA stood at ₹434 crores, depicting a growth of almost 100% YOY basis. PAT stood at ₹280 crores, up 165% as compared to the previous year. Would like to highlight that we have been further able to improve our debt position, and the net debt to equity ratio now stands at 0.23x for Q1 FY23. Now, I would like to discuss the performance of each business segment in detail for the quarter, starting with first our main segment, which is the MTO segment, the International Supply Chain Business. Business, which is the MTO segment, operating under the EQ Worldwide umbrella, demonstrated robust performance. Ocean freight rates have witnessed declining trend over the last 3-4 months. However, the company has managed to grow revenues on back of strong volumes and profits remain steady, with focus on digitization and yield management. Some initiatives, like sales acceleration initiatives, have helped fuel growth for the segment, which can be witnessed through volume growth, both for LCL and FCL. LCL grew at a faster pace with 70% YOY growth, while FCL grew by 10% YOY. Would like to highlight here that FCL has showcased a 27% CAGR volume growth since its launch in 2013. International Supply Chain segment reported revenue of almost 5001 crores, up 70% YOY. EBITDA stood at 358 crores, growth of almost 117% compared to 165 crores same quarter last year. Robust performance led ROCE improvement, which stood at almost 56% on an annualized basis. Coming to the CFS and the ICD segment. The CFS and ICD segment has demonstrated significant growth in volume over last year. Volumes handled for the quarter stood at 138,300 TEUs as against 82,500 TEUs handled in Q1 last year. With sharper focus on customer analytics, the business has been able to maintain robust EBITDA margins of 26% along with delivering strong ROCE of over 30%. With focus on digitization, the customer journey and data-based decision-making, the CFS business is poised for opportunities ahead. For Q1 FY23, CFS vertical reported a revenue of 169 crores, registering a YOY growth of 38% as against 122 crores in the corresponding quarter. EBITDA for the quarter stood at 44 crores compared to 39 crores in Q1 FY22. Moving on to the next segment, which is the Express Logistics, operating under the Gati umbrella brand. The Express Logistics business under Gati's subsidiary GKTL reported its highest ever volume and best quarterly revenue at 365 crores for the quarter. The company continues to scale up quality infrastructure to drive the next phase of growth. The company continues to focus on sales acceleration, operational efficiency, digitization, talent acquisition and infrastructure by creating additional capacity. For Q1 FY23, the revenue stood at 365 crores as compared to 237 crores for last year, registering a growth of 54%. EBITDA stood at 25 crores compared to a loss of 1 crore last year. The turnaround in business is shaping well and the performance remains on track to attain profitable growth under Gati 2.0. Going on to the next segment, which is the contract logistics, rentals and others. The contract logistics business also continues to grow across all verticals. The equipment business of the company has rationalized reducing capital employed and utilization is currently at above 80% level despite the monsoons. Our JV associate business, which is operating under ACCI, witnessed a growth of 15% on revenue on a quarter-on-quarter basis, which stood at 157 crores in Q1 FY23 as compared to 137 crores in Q4 FY22. As highlighted in notes to account, the contract logistics business will get transferred to Avashya Supply Chain Private Limited, a wholly owned subsidiary of the company on an ongoing basis with mirror shareholding. The requisite approvals are awaited from NCLT and we would keep the shareholders updated of the same. We have been consistently providing other key comparative financial performance indicators and detailing on each of the corporate announcements in our investor presentation. One can refer that for more details. Now, I would request the moderator to open the line for Q&A. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. Participants who wish to ask a question may kindly press star 1 on your touchtone telephone. wish to withdraw yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. We have the first question from the line of Riya from Equitas Investments. Kindly proceed.
Thank you, sir, for giving me this opportunity. My first question would be in regards with the MTO segment. What kind of volume growth do we see in the coming future? Like, and from what trade route?
So we have consistently maintained the guidance that we continue to increase our market share, which means that whatever the market growth is, we will be having a delta on top of that. We do not give specific guidance on the volume growth, but to give a perspective on the industry growth, one could look at the GDP growth forecast, which is commonly spoken about. Usually the trade grows at a delta above that. Within the trade, LCL, which is our mainstay business within the international supply chain, is the fastest growing segment on the back of global SMB trade and e-commerce trade. So usually LCL is the fastest growing global segment, and within this segment, across the world, we would be gaining market share and therefore be growing faster than that. So whatever, assuming that the similar growth trends continue in the underlying market, you should see similar growth trends continuing in our business as well.
Okay, that will be great. And with the recent acquisition of Nordicon and the other JV which we have done in this segment, what kind of revenue are we seeing from that space, and how has it panned out, and what kind of synergies are we looking at?
So both Nordicon and the joint venture in Korea have been extremely successful for us. We have been able to not only integrate and retain the entire volumes being handled by those businesses, but also as those volumes have now come into our network, it means incremental volumes being handled on the other side in the network, incremental profits, and also the integration with EQ Worldwide Network has allowed these companies to perform better, increasing their yield optimization, and therefore I would say that on a ballpark basis, the profits have nearly doubled from where they were prior to the acquisition for Nordicon entity.
Okay, so are we seeing any further improvement in these segments or in terms of volumes? Like, what? Because since we are new, there the market share gain will be higher. So if you could just give a sense, you know, are we seeing double digit growth there?
So we would continue to witness strong growth on the back of organic growth initiatives, which I alluded to. On top of that, we do continue to evaluate strategic acquisition opportunities, which could help us gain significant traction in specific countries or specific geographies. So that is something which we continue to look at. And through the history of the company, we have done multiple acquisitions, and fortunately with strategic focus, they have all been successful, and we believe that such opportunities would continue to emerge in the times to come, and we would continue to look at such strategic acquisitions.
Okay, my next question would be in regards to the logistics segment. So basically, what is the status of current deal with Blackstone? Like, what amount have we received, and if you could just explain me more.
Yeah, so in terms of the cash flow, the large part of amounts has already been received. However, the consummation of the transaction has been pending for some time. There were some processes which were not time defined, but they have been concluded now, and it should be any moment. I would say it should most likely happen within this month, week or 2 years or there, but most likely this should happen any moment. Once that happens, there won't be any incremental cash flow, but there will be a reduction in debt on account of two things. Some of these assets are held in SPVs, which would go off our balance sheet as we sell the stake to Blackstone in those SPVs. And secondly, there's some amount of fund which is sitting on our books as a convertible amount. And yeah, and my colleague Deepal can confirm on the ballpark amount, which we would see in terms of debt reduction once this Blackstone agreement consummates in the coming weeks. Deepal, would you like to share the amount?
Yeah, so Ravi, approximately 300 crores of debt will go off our balance sheet. once this transaction is consummated.
Yeah.
And I think there was an agreement that 16% interest would be levied if the deal does not get consummated. So, are we paying any part of it?
No, if the deal, I mean, the deal is going to happen, right? So, there is no provision for that at this point in time. We don't think we will be required to pay that.
And just to add to that, both parties are eager to consummate the transaction and it should happen anytime.
Okay, got it. And in terms of CFS business, are we seeing a decrease in realization there because of the DPD rules and all?
There was a trend in the past, but if you look at the recent performance, we have been improving margins in the CFS business.
Yes, so what is triggering that? Actually, I just wanted to know what developments have happened.
This is largely been on account of, you know, using technology to our advantage, you know, both in terms of customer touch points as well as a lot of analytics now that goes in terms of managing customer decisions, which has helped us to marginally improve the profitability by bringing in efficiency and managing profitability through various digital tools. That's been the key driver for improvement in the performance on the margin side. Overall, from an environment perspective, DPD and other factors, they played a role historically, but now that has already reached a mature, steady state, and there's not much impact on account of that.
So, for a matter of fact, our volumes and EBIT per TU for CFS would be sustainable, right?
Yes, absolutely. That is what it should mean. Yeah.
Or are we seeing any further decline in volumes in the CFS business?
No, so we believe that driven by India's export, we should continue to see strong growth in the CFS business and also on the consumption side. Country is likely to witness strong growth and CFS is an important extension to the port infrastructure. So on the volume side, we should continue to see strong momentum. And the beauty of this business is that, you know, as we handle more volumes and if there's a marginal dip in the dwell time, it may lead to a marginal reduction in the revenue per TU, but that also means that with the same yard, we can now handle more containers. So on an overall basis, it only bodes well for the business. So from here on, we believe that the business should continue to grow in terms of volumes as well as in terms of profits.
Okay, so you're expecting maybe say lower single digit growth in volume or
We would not be able to give a specific guidance on numbers, but here again, we would be maintaining or growing our market share.
Okay. I think I'll get back in queue for further questions. Thank you.
Thank you. Participants, if you wish to ask a question, kindly press star 1. The next question is from the line of Deepak Poddar from Sapphire Capital. Kindly proceed.
Yeah, thank you very much for the opportunity. So I just wanted to understand on the demerger update.
Excuse me, Mr. Poddar, we are not able to hear you clearly.
Yeah, I think you're asking for an update on demerger, if that's the question.
Yeah, that's correct.
Yeah, I would request my colleague Deepal to respond on that, please.
Yeah, so we have submitted the application for demerger to the NCLT and we are awaiting progress on that. So we are well in line in terms of the timeline that we have provided, that will take close to 12 to 15 months for the entire demerger process to be completed. So all the requirements from our side have been fulfilled at this point in time. And we are awaiting, regulatory approvals in this matter.
Okay. So ideally by second quarter of FY24 is when we might be looking to kind of get through with the demerger.
We cannot commit timelines, but yes, I mean, we expect it to happen much earlier than that.
Much earlier than, okay, fair enough, understood. And so my second query is regarding your EBITDA margin. It's sustainable EBITDA, given a lot of changes, the volume is seeing a sharp growth. But at the same time, I guess the freight rates are declining. So how do you see sustainable margins going ahead?
So basically, to give you a bit of a perspective on the business, a large part of our business is LCL consolidation, wherein our unique capabilities lie in operating the network across the world, wherein ocean freight rates are more like a pass-through cost in some sense, while we take care of various services, including consolidation and deconsolidation of cargo on the origin destination, etc. So the ocean freight underlying becomes more of a pass-through cost. On the SCL business, there is some impact of the ocean freight environment on the margins per TU. However, that is generally more than negated by the volume expansion, and which is what has also can be seen from the results of this quarter, wherein the ocean freight rates was declining. However, we have continued to maintain the profits. And also, the EBITDA margins also depend on the operating leverage, which means that by use of technology, we are not required to increase the SG&A cost in the same proportion in which we grow the business. So these factors aid us in the sustenance of the margins.
Correct. So ideally, this 8% kind of EBITDA margin, 7.5 to 8%, is that a level one should look at? Given the changes in the macro environment.
So, assuming that there could be further softness in the ocean freight rates, one could see the margins being sustained or could even marginally improve, because as we hold on to the margins against a decline in revenue, it could potentially also mean a slight improvement in the margins in percentage terms.
So Ravi, just to add to that, so basically, large amount of freight is, approximate, is passed through. And if the freight rates drop, it also improves your working capital, which also adds to your bottom line. So in a way, a declining freight rate environment could probably help us a little better as well.
Yeah, I understood. Yeah, that's quite fair, actually. Yeah, quite interesting. My final query, do you expect ocean freight to further go down from here, or you expect it to be range bound going forward in the short term?
So we believe that there could be a little more softness on the ocean freight rates. However, we do not see any sharp movements. And also, we believe that there could be some continued volatility in the rates, given that there have been unprecedented situations, be it a lockdown or the war-related sanctions, and now with the festive season coming up, so there could be some positive and negative demand drivers in the market, which could be more sporadic. So, therefore, it is important to remember that there would be some volatilities, but if you ask for a directional trend, there is likely to be a more softness in the freight rates.
Understood. Fair enough. I that's it from my side. Thank you very much, sir. All the best.
Thank you. Participants who wish to ask a question, kindly press star 1. The next question is from the line of Sameer Deshpande from Fair Deal Investments. Kindly proceed.
Hello, good afternoon, everyone. Hey, congratulations for the good performance. And we have attained a trajectory of around 5,500 to 6,000 crores quarter. Quite a commendable achievement. And as you exude the confidence in continue to grow with the same level, because India is expected to grow at around 7% plus, is a good thing. Now, I would like to know what is the gross debt and cash and net debt of the company.
Yeah, Deepak, if you take that up.
Yeah, so we are having approximately gross debt of around 1600 crores, and we have close to almost 800 crores of cash with us at the moment.
So overall, the consolidated net debt is around 800 crores only.
Yeah. So net debt is around 858
crores. 858
crores.
So it is quite this enough. In Gati also, there has been a turnaround this time, after a long time.
Yes.
So, the structuring which was expected, how soon is it likely to happen?
So, there are two points that you mentioned, turnaround and restructuring. So, turnaround is something which I would say has been largely concluded, with now the outcome being displayed with the growth in business and improving margins on Gati. On the restructuring, the part one, which is the work in progress, which is the demerger, my colleague will already share details that It's already with NCLT, and we expect it to be concluded by April, May next year. And there have been, the board also has recommended to look at options to restructure the Express and Contract Logistics business, as we have disclosed in the recent past, along with engaging with our joint venture partners, KWE. However, those are at preliminary stages right now. Perhaps in the coming 2 to 3 months, you'll be in a position to offer more information on that.
And now regarding the debt, you mentioned that the net debt now is around 858 crores on consolidated level. And out of this, after the Blackstone deal is consummated, the company hopes to clear further 300 crores. So after that, the debt should be in the range of 550 to 600 crores.
Yes, that is right.
Correct.
Good. And all the best to you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. To ask a question, kindly press star 1. The next question is from the line of Rushabh Shah from Anubhuti Advisors. Kindly proceed.
Thank you for the opportunity. And I think over the last couple of quarters, we have been exiting a couple of non-core businesses and non-core assets. So, has that largely been concluded, or over the next couple of quarters, do we see further such corporate events to play?
So there are certain assets which are being disposed, which is a longer term process in Gati. We had given timelines of 18 months or so. So that continues, and we may see monetization of, you know, certain land banks which are not required for business, fuel station business, etc., which is underway. So there would continue to be certain accruals coming from such disposals of assets. And on the among the other businesses, we have already sold the project transportation business, which is also non-core. However, some cash flows are yet to come from that, which would come in. And the equipment business has been downsized, but there could be further work on incremental downsizing or exit from the business. So this is a continuing process. We continue to manage businesses very well with great performance, but at the same time, we're very focused on the core businesses and want to continue to move out of small non-core businesses.
Understood. But they would largely be now on Gati Cargo. We don't have any such big business which we are now looking to exit.
In the overall scheme of things, if you look at the large scale that the international supply chain business contributes to, and then the Express and Contract Logistics business, all these decisions are minor points, I would say. They are not going to make very significant impact.
Understood. And second last question from mine would be on the tax rate part. Now, I believe our tax rate continues to fluctuate. I think it's on a very big scale. So, if you can just guide on what can be the effective average tax rate for maybe this year and the year to come.
Yeah. Deepal, would you like to answer that?
Yeah. So the tax rate depends on many other things, our ability to utilize MAT and many other things. So there is a little bit of fluctuation in that. But what we are expecting is to be in the range of around close to 24% in the long run is what we expect our tax rate to be.
Okay, on a consolidated basis, correct?
Yeah, on a consolidated basis, it should be 24-25%.
Perfect. That was all from my side. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Radha Agarwal. Can you proceed?
Hello, am I audible?
Yes, ma'am, you are.
Okay. Congratulations on good set of results, sir. So my question was on the international supply chain side of the business. So, just to understand, now that the freight rates are falling, and if going forward, for example, considering a hypothetical scenario that the freight rates, that if we hit the 1Q FY22 realizations of 1.3 lakhs in the international supply chain business, wherein the EBIT per TU was 6,000. So, going forward, if we hit that kind of realization, so what kind of EBIT per TU can be obtained?
Yeah, so I would reiterate that the ocean freight rates do not impact the core business that we have, which is the LCL consolidation. Our profits rather depend on three parameters. One, how much cargo we are able to stuff in a container, which is called as the container utilization, which is driven by using customer engagement and data analytics tools. The second driver is how many 40 fitters do we use as compared to 20-foot boxes, which is driven by economies of scale and growth, which is well placed. And the third factor is how many direct routes we are able to operate as compared to transshipment, which is an additional cost, where again we have made great progress by further enhancing our global network. These three underlying factors are what drive the profitability in the mainstay LCL consolidation business, and they continue to be strong, and we do not see any impact of ocean freight rates on any of these three factors that drive profitability for us.
Okay. So actually, I'm asking this question primarily because we thought that we have hit the peak EBITDA, and in like from this quarter onwards, we believe that the EBITDA would continue to fall because of the freight rates. So now, given the freight rate scenario,
as I mentioned, the freight rates have already fallen in the first quarter as well, and the results are available to be looked at. So we have already had one quarter when the ocean freight rates fell, and in some trade lanes they fell by a significant 30-35% as well. But despite all those ocean freight rates decline, as we have been commenting for the last several quarters, our performance should sustain, and that is what is being visible in the first quarter outcome as well.
Okay. So in this business, could you tell me what is the average lag time, if any, wherein we book the container berths and we resell them to customers? So what I wanted to understand is, for the volume sold in the international supply chain business in 1Q FY23, did we book the containers in 1Q itself or in 4Q or even prior to that?
There's a combination of various long-term and short-term contracts. There is a spot buying and spot selling as well, and there are long-term contracts. We operate like an Uber of shipping, when we don't own the vessels, but we operate like a shipping line. Customers book cargo with us for various origin-destination pairs, and we operate like a non-vessel-owning common carrier. That's the business. So there are underlying back-to-back contracts for long-term, as well as there's a combination of various things, but if you're trying to understand if there's a lag between the macro environment and that, there isn't any significant lag in that sense, because the trends are largely matching on the demand and the supply side. Having said that, like I highlighted, if you look at this quarter itself, the volumes have gone up, but revenue has not gone up, which is primarily an indicator of falling ocean freight rates. However, the decline in the ocean freight rates has not had an impact on the bottom line, because as I explained, the bottom line on the mainstay LCL business is largely driven by utilization and the other efficiencies. On the LCL business, there is a minor impact which gets negated by the volume expansion.
Okay. So actually, in volume growth, in Europe and US, actually 10 days back, the mayors have reduced the global container volume outlook. So is it fair to assume that we will grow 2-3% going forward? And could you also give us some light on what is the current market share and expected market share gain over the next 2-3 years?
Yeah, so what you're referring to as a 2-3% expansion is more of a global ocean freight growth rate. And if you look at the last 4-5 years of trends, the global ocean freight growth rate may not be very different. What we are referring to is within the global ocean freight, as I mentioned, the LCL freight grows much faster, and within that, our market share has been expanding, and therefore we have been witnessing stronger growth in a similar market over the last couple of years as well. So our growth is not only backed on the market expansion in terms of the market growth rate, but also on the market share expansion, which has been the primary contributor to the volume expansion in our case.
Okay. Also, coming to the CFS business, so previously we had discussed that the major growth driver for CFS business would be volume. Now, in this quarter, despite the QOQ growth in cargo volumes in the industry, we have seen that from in our business, so we have witnessed that there is a QOQ degrowth in the CFS volume. So could you just give us some reasons that why is the decline? And going forward, despite the DCD hurdles, what factors will lead to volume growth for the company?
So, you know, there are always certain seasonalities on a Q-on-Q basis in the CFS business. If you look at the YOY, there's been a strong growth in the business. Also, as I mentioned, we have been rationalizing our business to drive profitability, which could also have a certain minor temporary impact on the volumes, but that turns out to be a positive impact on the overall bottom line. In terms of the DPD, it is already stabilized. However, it is a CFS business which allows the Indian Post to continue to work without any congestion issues, as we saw in Los Angeles or other parts of the world, because CFSs allow for an immediate evacuation of containers from the port and play an important role in the container supply chain. And we believe that they would continue to play a role. In fact, there could be further expansion in the role that they play, depending on how the regulatory policies shape up in the coming years.
Okay, and sorry, ma'am,
I request you to kindly get back in the queue for further questions.
I just had one last question, if I may. Just one last. In the result update, we have stated that the purpose of, could you please explain what is the purpose of agreement with shareholders of Haryana Orbital Rail Corporation Limited to acquire 7.6% equity stake, wherein we have spent 60 crores till now?
So this is a marquee rail corridor coming around NCR, which would carry both passenger cargo as well as the passengers as well as cargo. And this would be a DFC compliant rail corridor. It is a partnership between various government bodies and Maruti Udyog and All Cargo Logistics. This basically also provides us a seamless connectivity to DFC, to our upcoming logistics park in the NCR. And therefore, it is a strategic investment, keeping in view our ambition to participate in the ICD business and rail linked ICD business, which can be seamlessly connected with the dedicated freight corridor.
Okay, thank you so much for answering all my questions and congratulations. Yes, again.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you. Participants, if you wish to ask a question, kindly press star 1. The next question is from the line of Ravi from OneUp. Kindly proceed.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for the opportunity. Wanting to take the discussion on MTO profitability a little forward. So you explain the levers you have for, protecting the margins in a lower freight environment. Just doing some number that the realization per TU, the kind of dip we see quarter on quarter, the dip in EBIT is much lower, which probably explains the levers you have. Any thumb rule or something which we can factor in terms of, what could be a proportionate dip or proportionate impact of the lower freight rates or any way to look at it?
So I would say that, typically about 2/3 to 3/4 of our business is LCL consolidation and about 1/4 to 1/3 is the FCL business. In the LCL consolidation business, the business operates from the gross profit per unit volume rather than operating on the revenue per unit volume. So that is how this business operates, and therefore whatever ocean freight reduction happens leads to an equivalent reduction in both the operating cost and the revenue, and therefore on the gross profit level it does not create any impact, as I explained. And the fluctuations we have seen over the last couple of years have largely been driven by the other factors. On the FCL business, as the freight rates come down, it's not to the same extent, but to some marginal extent, there is a decline in the profits per TU. However, in terms of the broad ballpark impact, that is estimated to be below the estimated growth rates, and therefore, to a large extent, any such drop gets negated by the expansion in volume. So that is the broad perspective with which one could analyze the numbers.
Okay. Also, another question was the contract logistics business is moved to a subsidiary format from a JV format. I understand. I think that is to do with the structuring of the business. Probably any timelines of probably evaluating this business to be merged with Gati's contract logistics business, or how are you looking at this piece and any timelines? Will you try to do it along with the whole demerger activity that is been going on?
No, so the currently ongoing demerger would continue to proceed with the current scheme of things. We are evaluating various strategic options on the contract logistics and the express business. And we are in discussions with our JV partners, TWE as well, to look at buying out their stake. All these discussions should reach some form and shape in the coming 3 months or so. To put a broad timeline, it can be a little bit here or there, when we will be in a position to share further updates with you.
Ravi, just an addition over here, that once it moves to the subsidiary, it will continue to be a JV. Yeah. So we've clarified that we are splitting the current JV into the business and moving it into the Avashya supply chain, which is a subsidiary, but the shareholding pattern will reflect the JV at step one. And whatever restructuring will happen, it will happen at step two.
Yeah, of course. So probably we can expect some consolidation of holdings.
Yeah.
Of course. Sure. And just a bookkeeping clarification, probably the net debt at 858 crores can come down by 300 crores with the Blackstone deal. And further, we did a transaction of selling the project logistic business. So we can expect it further coming down by another 100 crores as we receive the cash.
Yes, when the cash flow comes in, yes, it will get reduced accordingly. Yes.
Okay. And on the Nordicon acquisition...
Unless there are new investments that we make, you know.
Yeah, sure. I'm just talking about as-is basis, as of now.
Right. Okay.
On the Nordicon side, so we were given some indication that it was hitting a bit of a million euro... a month kind of a run rate. So just wanted to know how are things there progressing, and maybe the combined bit of what you shared in the presentation that includes Nordicon, or
So to give a perspective, we had mentioned that we had acquired the company at a run rate of about 4 million annualized, which I mentioned on today's call as well, as almost doubled from that run rate, and we have had certain months hitting up to $1 million in the particular month as well. There has been some temporary disruption to the rail service, which we have highlighted in our published outcome as well, which has somewhat impacted the Nordicon profits in the quarter for which the earnings have been published. Now we are seeing a little bit of reversal in that sense, with rail volume also starting again, and with alternative routes being found to Russia. So we believe that there was, so perhaps in the quarter gone by, the performance was somewhat suppressed, which should get to the normal levels as we move forward. But ballpark, as I said, it's almost like a doubling up from the levels that we acquired.
Sure, okay. That's helpful. Any broad commentaries on the Europe side? So we're hearing a lot about the heat waves and slower moving of cargoes because of low river levels. So how are the inquiries and with the environment, if you can just talk about broadly?
Yeah, so I would say, you know, in terms of the macroeconomic environment, we get the same feedback as most of us would be aware. There has been some conversation about, you know, sluggishness in the demand. And clearly, we also observe that in Europe, there is a greater conversation around the sluggishness in demand as compared to, say, India, if you draw a reference point. And therefore, there could be some sluggishness in the demand, therefore, the trade volumes as well. That's on the macroeconomic side. But that's also a good opportunity for me to explain how our business is very beautifully placed to be automatically hedged against such scenarios. So what happens is, whenever there's a slowdown in demand, that usually leads to a temporary spike up in the LCL consolidation business. So therefore, there's a little bit of, let's say, 6 to 9 months kind of a dandy, when there's a sluggishness in demand, that kind of gets compensated with the greater opportunity in the LCL consolidation space. Likewise, we also notice that whenever there is an overall global environment when people foresee recession risk, etc., people also tend to move towards deemed safer currencies such as dollar, and we usually find that dollar appreciates. So while there's a little bit of, you know, burden which the recessionary macro environment brings in terms of the impact on the business, there's also a natural hedge in the dollar appreciation which benefits our business. So from some of these temporary headwinds, our business is also largely insulated.
Yeah, thanks for those answers. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Abhijit Mitra from ICICI Securities. Can you proceed?
Yeah, thanks for taking my question. Just to understand, again on the NTO part, the thing that you mentioned that 2/3 of the business is LCL, you mean by volumes or by revenues? What exactly do you mean on when you say 2/3 is LCL?
I would say largely in context of the gross profit contribution, which is the line item that I was describing on how to evaluate the business.
Okay, and on the EBITDA level, it would be similar or it would be higher?
We do not share the detail, but I can,
So what I was trying to understand that if you can create a bridge, because earlier, the EBIT per TU which used to report was around 39-40 euros per quarter. Now it has moved up to 150 euros per quarter. Of course, it moved up much, much higher. Now it has come off a bit. So can you create a bridge between 39-40 euros to 150 euros? I mean, broadly, you mentioned some of the contributing factors for LCL profitability improving, like container utilizations, like, 40 feeders against 20 feeders, direct routes versus transshipments and stuff like that. But if you can create a bridge, highlighting the major impact points which have taken this 40 euros to 150 euros.
Yeah, so, one, I would say going back more than a couple of years behind might also distort the picture given the cargo mix and, difference in the trade lane basket itself. However, on the overall trend, we would not be able to provide, let's say, piecewise breakup because it's information which is sensitive from a competition and from a confidentiality perspective. But like I said, these are the three contributing factors which can be together considered as contributing to almost the entire uplift in the improved margins on the operating level. From gross profit to EBITDA, it is just a function of the SG&A costs, which are dependent upon our investments into expanding management teams on one hand, and digitization and therefore reduction in the operating costs on the other hand, and that's a bit of a trade-off in that. Just to explain an example, when I say increased utilization, what we're essentially saying is, let's say if we are carrying 25 cubic meters of cargo in a container, and now if we're able to carry 26 cubic meters, for the additional 4% cargo, we do not pay any ocean freight because we are still carrying it in the same container. And 4% is literally a pass-through, and that becomes a very substantial. So 1 cubic meter improvement in the cargo utilization creates a 4% impact on the ocean freight cost, which is a significant cost on our on the line item, and that helps us expand the gross profits. I would say this is something which has happened over the last couple of years, but I would say right now we are in a path wherein we have stabilized these yields largely. So therefore, from here on, we would see that the yields should continue and the growth should be more led by volumes.
Yeah, that's helpful. No, I understand the levers. It's just that in future presentations, if you can lay out some bridge, I think that will address a lot of queries. Because I think now the fear is that a large part of this move is being driven by freight, and that fear, for addressal of that fear, probably a bridge would help. Was my humble submission. And secondly, on Gati restructuring. So to sort of, I think in your post board meeting release on 2nd of August, you have mentioned certain factors. So for example, you have mentioned that restructuring business of Gati and contract logistics business division of the company. And you also mentioned that the board has given approval to undertake discussions with Kintetsu as within the provisions as a shareholder's agreement. So if you can lay out some of the terms of the shareholder agreement, what exactly is the shareholder agreement that you have with Kintetsu, and does beginning of these discussions trigger any sort of a move, or when you will discuss, you sort of start with an offer and they will have to respond to you? What are the contours of this discussion, if you can broadly highlight, of course, in keeping with the disclosure norms?
We are bound by the confidentiality agreement, we will not be able to disclose details, but like we have disclosed, we are in the process of considering various restructuring options, including discussions with KWE to buy out their stake, and these are the two headline items that we could speak about right now, but as indicated, in coming 3 months, we'll be in a position to have more details being shared with everyone.
Right, and in each of these moves, we are seeing involvement of multiple parties, including NCLTs, and the for example,
we have to abide by the law of the land, yeah, so whatever is required, we have to go through that process.
Yeah, but that sort of extends the timeline, right? I mean, it can easily stretch beyond 2 years, given the current pace at which things are moving. So do you see a risk of that, or you feel...
No, our experience has been, I would say, reasonably good. We did some small demergers. There was a Jhajjar logistics park where we did a small demerger. We have been in the process of considering the demerger of our ACCI business, and the scheme of demerger for all cargo also, and we have been quite satisfied with the response from the NCLT. And as I mentioned, we had indicated a timeline of about 15 months at the beginning of taking the initial board approval, and from there on we are on track. So we believe that we should be able to conclude things in a time-bound manner. We do not see much risk of running beyond those timelines. Having said that, we have to comply with the laws of the land and abide by the regulations.
Got it, got it. Thanks. I'll come back in the queue.
Yeah, thanks.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Keshav Garg from CCIPL. Can you proceed?
Sir, sorry to be repetitive, but sir, we can see that in the MTO division, since the past 3 quarters, even though our top line is flattish, but our EBIT is decreasing from 389 crore to 361 to 318 crore. So now this 318 crore that we did last quarter, can we hold on to this, or will this see further decline in the quarters to come?
So usually in this business, October to December quarter is the strongest quarter, and that cannot be compared with the following quarters, which usually have a declining demand situation. And as far as the first quarter is concerned, there again, there was also contribution from some specific incentives, which are also seasonal. So I would say in this business, it's largely driven by seasonalities and patterns in which business operates. So a fair comparison would be Y on Y rather than a Q on Q. A Christmas quarter is very different from the quarter just before that.
Great, sir. So basically, sir, but still, like the previous speaker was mentioning, that in our stock price is reflecting the fear of the market that our earnings might be temporarily bumped up. So if this is not the case, so if you see our stock price, then our price to earning ratio today is at its lows of 2009, 2013, and March 2020 lows. All these are crisis periods. But if our earnings are sustainable, so then the company should go for a share buyback, because we are trading at 7 times earnings. So which is the lowest ever, except for the crisis period.
Just two quick comments on that. While the demerger scheme is going on, the share buyback is not possible as the demerger scheme is going on. So that option is not there on the table, just to share the factual aspect on that. And secondly, you know, as a business, our control is on delivering performance and providing comfort and clarifications to all our shareholders, investors, and analysts. And I'm sure that the coming quarters would see changing trends like this one has, and people should be in a position to analyze the company's performance and correlate it with the macroeconomic changes. So in that context, you know, while previous quarters were slightly different, I think this was an interesting quarter wherein we had all the headwinds possible from the war, inflation and lockdowns, and declining ocean freight on top of that, and the performance has continued to be strong.
Sure, sir. Much appreciated. And so lastly, so this Haryana Orbital Rail Corporation, so what is our total stake, and also is there further investment from our side that is required in future?
No, our shareholding is 7.6%, and people could provide details on our commitment there.
Yeah, so we have a total commitment of 114 crores. We've already invested 60 crores. So the balance amount will be invested in the coming year.
Okay, so thank you very much, investor.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Shivaji Mehta, an individual investor. Can we proceed?
Hi, thank you for the opportunity. Sir, I had one question regarding the restructuring of KWE. I don't know if you can comment on this, but you know, can this lead to some sort of a debt pile up on Gati's balance sheet? You know, like when you buy out the stake, how will that be funded?
So that is something which, unfortunately, at this point in time, I would not be able to share much details. But as we explore various options, we'll come back with details. But I can share with you that if you look at our approach in business, we have kept leverage in check, and that is what you see in today's overall net debt numbers as well. And wherever we have raised debt across any company, we have usually raised the debt with a clear horizon on the repayment. And so therefore, as a company, philosophically, we would never be in a situation wherein we would be in a situation wherein the leverage or the debt could be a concern. To be quite clear on that. In terms of how exactly the transaction would consist and how it would be funded, etc. At this point in time, it's a little premature. We'll come back to you when we have more clarity on that.
Right, sir. Thank you very much. That's all from my side.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Sailesh Raja for closing comments.
Yeah, thank you all for attending this session. We especially thank the Alcargo Logistics team for their time. Mr. Ravi, any closing comments would you like to make?
So just on behalf of myself and people, I would like to thank everyone for joining us. And that's it. Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you very much.
Thank you. On behalf of Batliwala and Karani Securities India Private Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us. You may now disconnect your lines.